guy, and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Hey, Merry Christmas, and welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network.
Ho, ho.
Oh, yep. There he is. That's Conrad. He kind of looks like Santa.
Jolly fat man. Yes.
Right.
Happy
exactly.
to be here.
Right. We're glad you are, by the way. But
here or fat?
Yeah. Exactly. But so, Bob, we've talked about sauces ad nauseum. So let's go into the spices, because there's a whole lot of people that, and me included, that I use a lot more dry seasoning than I do sauce.
Yep.
Sauce is something that might go on a third to a half of my barbecue.
See, you'll fit right in Memphis.
Right. But yeah. Oh, yeah. And the Memphis seasoning, we'll start there, because it's got a little bit of a citrus profile. And that, to me, I'll take some Old World Olive Company lime-infused olive oil, put a little bit of it in a bag, throw the chicken wings in there, and soak that up.
That's not a rub.
I understand. But that makes the Memphis rub stick to my chicken wings.
God, I just heard Rob Russell there for a second.
And I'm just telling you, listen to me, that the Memphis profile is my family's favorite chicken wings flavor, and I've shown them what it is, but I get them to, they ask when, hey, when are you going to make those chicken wings again? Those things are amazing.
So Sobey Meats sells something that with that profile, and it's called Pig's Ass.
Yeah.
It's a rub called Pig's Ass. Here's the secret to the Memphis profile.
Well, I thought you were going to give me the secret to a pig's ass.
No, I think you found that long ago.
Okay.
no farm humor here. It is powdered.
It's called ham.
It's powdered Worcestershire.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
And because that's a little tangy.
It is.
Yep.
It is. It's like the magic.
Yeah.
Magic dust. Yeah. So you can buy it at Kent Butcher Supply.
Okay.
If you want to make. You know, if you want to really kill your neighbor's barbecue and just like flying by everybody in the neighborhood, go to them and get some of that powdered Worcestershire.
Yep.
Because that is the secret. And then don't tell anybody.
Right.
Especially over the airwaves.
Right. Right. So we were talking in the previous segment, one of them, about smoking salt. You know, just again, a coarse sea salt, the pink Himalayan works as well.
It's pretty, but you're going to make it black anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right, and don't over-smoke it. You want, you know, smoking salt is like perfume.
Right.
You want a touch of it. You don't want to kill it because it'll be overpowering.
But there's probably a caveat there as well in that the size of the salt crystals, and they do vary.
Sure they do.
If you're going with a kosher and you get the big chunks, I'd say smoke the heck out of it, because when you start crushing that up, there's no smoke inside
it.
So it'll dilute itself.
Great point.
In Manistee, I believe, or Traverse City, there's a place called the Northern Spice Company.
Okay.
And they make that blend. It's probably like salt, a little bit of onion powder, a little bit of pepper, and some garlic. And then they put it in this nice little spice container. You know, you just shake it on, but it's one of the nicest blends I've ever had. It's called Northern Spice Company, and I think they call it Grillin' Salt or something.
Yep.
You can put that, if you're cooking inside, if you wuss out like I did last week, and you cook inside, you can put that on a burger, a steak, whatever you want.
You can put that on anything.
And I'm telling you, it'll taste like you grilled it.
Yep.
It's a fantastic thing. So basic rubs. And we're not talking about a back rub. We're talking about how you like to treat your protein, you know, what you're going to put on it. And you literally don't have to rub it in. It's called a rub because a lot of people used to rub it, did rub it. There's lots of ways you can go with a rub, too. And you can put it on your meat and then wrap it and put it in the fridge overnight. Some
like
people like to do that.
Something.
Some people like to do that. Yep.
So I would shy away from heavy salt-based rubs and putting those on overnight, because it'll draw some of the moisture, I feel, out of the
meat.
That's
why they cut them with a lot of sugar.
Right.
You know, you're kind of curing the meat to a certain extent, but I agree with you. And I'm not one that'll rub something and put it in overnight like that. so much. It depends on what it is. Now, when I do like a Mexican pulled pork,
right?
Then I might do that only because you're really putting a heavy profile on a piece of hog, and hog needs it.
Well, it does. You know, it's dense.
It's too. Pork.
I mean,
it's like
if
turkey.
You're doing a pork shoulder, a pork butt, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you're looking at 7-8 pounds, and you're putting seasoning on the outside. If it's boneless, you'll have a couple cavities you can put the seasoning in. But by and large, you're covering about 10% of the meat you're going to eat with mm-hmm. seasoning, and the rest of it's got to be mixed in.
And there's so much fat on it, it'll rehydrate itself quite easily.
Yeah,
I agree.
But that
God, we're agreeing with each other.
Well,
wow,
I don't know. Hey, man,
weird.
Tis the
Must
season.
Be Christmas.
Yeah. But anyway.
Since we're going down that path, there's another thing you could make for a gift. You know, come up with a spice blend you like.
Yep.
If you have, and maybe you make it, and maybe your buddy's trying to get his game going, and you just want to, you know, give him something as a little bit of a thrill. That's a heck of a nice gift. Again, you made it.
Right.
And they're so simple. We're talking about, they almost always have paprika.
Right.
They have salt and sugar.
Yep.
Onion powder, garlic powder, maybe some thyme or coriander, maybe some orange. I like using orange peel.
Dill is okay. A little bit of it goes a long way.
For steak, dill is fantastic. If you look at the Montreal steak seasoning, I mean, nobody knows spices better than McCormick's.
Right.
And that Montreal doesn't buy that.
Right.
That's got dill in it.
Yep. And I keep a little bottle of dill weed. I think they call it dill weed. It's pulverized, and you sprinkle that. I put that on the other day. I put that on deviled eggs. I thought it was going to look cool.
Kind of
looks
good,
like
wasn't
pine.
It?
Oh man, it ramped those things up in a hurry. I was like,
you're
dang, I got to do that again.
Now.
Right, I got to do that again.
You know, another thing like that is thyme.
Yeah,
thyme and dill are overlooked by a lot of chefs, or at least kitchen guys.
To me, thyme is another one of those seasonings is a little bit goes a long way. It can take over other flavors if you get too much of it in there. But that's personal preference, right? Some people love it.
Yeah, and so you could make up those rubs like that, or you can even make up just your own favorite just to keep it around so you don't have to get all those spices out every time you're making your favorite thing.
Right, and I used to, there's a guy named Andrew Smith that taught me a lot about cooking. And he's a chef, but Andrew had this stuff he called chef's salt, and it was kosher salt, white pepper, black pepper, and garlic powder, and he put that on a lot of things that came out of his kitchen. But that little four seasoning, the white and the black pepper for some reason, and then the garlic and the salt, I mean, it was in a shaker, you know, and he put it on chicken, he put it on beef, he put it on pork. It was
nothing wrong with that at
all. Yeah, it was like a go-to.
There's another one made in Michigan that I used to buy up at R&J's Market up in Houghton Lake, and it was like Magic Blend or Chef's Magic or something like that. You see it all over the place. That's another one of those just perfect. You can just grab the thing, put it on, and you're all done. Old World has one like that too.
Seasonella. It's a salt with
Fantastic.
Herbs in it. Yep. Comes in a little like 8-ounce glass jar.
Yeah.
And
there's nothing wrong with just grabbing something off the shelf like that.
Yeah. And there again, that's why everybody says, well, why don't you make your own sauces and rubs? Because that stuff exists. And I'm not in the food business. I'm in the talking business, right?
So yeah, and it kind of depends on time too.
Yeah.
You know, if you really have all kinds of time and you just really feel like maybe experimenting a little bit and going down one of those trails, then you might play around with your blends. It's kind of how I do it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I do want to do a hat tip to McCormick, though, because they have just kept expanding their reach on the Montreal blend, put them back in the driver's seat,
yep.
And that thing exploded and drove revenue. And now they've got all kinds of variations of it.
Yep.
People like it. And you know, your average person, number one, probably isn't going to listen to two guys for an hour talk about food.
Right.
But they will want some of these secrets. So if you have those little nuggets of knowledge,
yeah,
you can
so
help them out.
Next weekend, Barbecue Bob and I are going to be off for the holiday, so you're going to get a best of. So this is the last live show of 2023.
You made it.
Personally, I just want to thank everybody for listening. Barbecue Bob putting up with me for another year. We are blessed to be able to do this each and every week and come on and just impart our opinions, more than knowledge, about anything. But I'm wishing you and all of yours a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas and mi le kaliki maka, hauli maka hiki ho.